Again, I just first of all, I just want to say we're as we continue to learn in Le'ilui Nishmas, Shalom Dov Be'er Markel, Shalom Dov Be'er Ben David, a young boy from Pittsburgh, a very young boy from Pittsburgh who, Rachmana Litzlan, passed away this summer. I'm also going to be a little presumptuous and add one more person just tonight. I have a colleague whose sister tragically passed away. It was her, it's her yahrzeit, it's her eighth yahrzeit. Her name is Kayla Eisenberg, Kayla Rus Bas Bonam Tuvia. So this also should be Le'iloi Nishmasa. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rav Reuven.
Shukayach, thank you so much for Pesach for arranging this as always. So let's learn. So we move now into the fourth parak of our Oros HaTshuva, and the fourth parak is different. You'll feel it's different. You'll see how it's different. Rav Kook's son of Tzvi Yehuda took the pieces from his journals from the Kvatzim, and he fashioned it based on, I believe very much based on the first three parakim and the introduction, into as that is the mission statement to really try and express the all of these concepts and finding pieces that all of Rav Kook's introduction, everything he poured into the introduction in the first three prakim, really can contain the rest of the rest of the sefer in it, and it's just a drawing out of Rav Kook's personal Malka. To look in the storehouses of the king, to look at the at in Rav Kook's personal journals, and to see truly these ideas as they're brought out and explained in greater depth, whereas it would have been a couple of words in the introduction in the first three prakim. As we move forward, you'll see that each idea is taken and expanded and followed through as Rav Kook in his journals thought about it and chewed it over and lived the concept. So there's no other way to start but then to start. Shotfim hem zirmei hatshuva. So these waves of tshuva wash over us. These waves of tshuva, they for the hapratis, the pratit klalit, the of the individual and of the community, of the nation, of the world, of all worlds. There is a tshuva is a force that rides these waves. It rides these waves that radiate throughout every single detail and every general principle, every overarching archetype, every large category that we can think of. Tshuva touches all of them. Dimyonam, we can equate them. They can be equated to the Kigalia Shel Havot al Guf HaShemesh. Like the idea of these solar flares rolling over the face of the sun. If you remember, we talked about the sun of Tshuva in the last parak. Right? The sun of Tshuva, the sunlight, its warm rays glowing over us and engulfing us. So we see on the face of the sun, Shel Havot Shel Guf HaShemesh Asher B'Melchemet Ad. That in this constant war for return, for repair, for renewal, these waves on the face of the sun rise up. Much like the Gra in his commentary speaks of both waves and mountains as the lower world reaching up towards the higher world. The Mayim Tachtonim reaching up to the Mayim Elyonim. The two waters that were separated at the beginning of creation, the constant striving of what's below to reach up to what's above. So us watching this, the rolling waves of fire on the face of the sun, these rolling waves, and these, in the same way that the sunlight gives life to untold amount of creations, similarly, the waves of tshuva go up and wash over each one of us and many, many, many different people, millions of people, untold amount of people, untold amount of worlds. In koach leklot et hamon harav shel tzvaim harabim asher l'shemesh gedola hazot mira l'olamot kulam shemesh hatshuva. there's no strength to try to bring all of the different colors that the great sun that shines its light into all of the worlds, this sun of tshuva, because there's just so much. I can't spell. It's not one specific flavor of tshuva. It's so many different types. And all of these different colors, all of this different energy of tshuva, of calling us back. There's too much of them. And they're so fast. And they all come from the source of life. Shazman ba'atzmo, who rock echad met havniyot hametzum tzamot shelo. That the time as itself is just one construct, just one of its constructs of that we take this energy and put it in a very, very small dimension to draw it in a very, very small way of something that resembles much more. So, for example, he's saying like that a person will have a moment of insight, a moment of inspiration. And you say, wow, that was a feeling, a koach of tshuva. Well, in that time, that moment that you had the awakening, that moment is one permutation, one, maybe you'd say sublimination, but a symptom, a contraction of this tremendous koach of tshuva into a form and a vessel, which is only just one. I had a moment of inspiration. That's one moment of tshuva, but that's not all of the tshuva that there is. Rabbi Nachman in the famous Elul Torah, of the sixth Torah in the Likutei Moran, explains that there's a concept of doing tshuva on tshuva. What is tshuva on tshuva? Not because I feel like, you know, that I'm a very, very nervous person. I feel I didn't do it right. But Shigar explains that the tshuva is because that in my pratis de katikun, in my very, very small tikkun, where I'm trying to do like one thing a little better. At the same time, that was just a little glimpse of the full energy of tshuva. Of course, all return, all repairs, trying to make it on time to shacharis on one hand, and eating better, and trying to be a nicer person. Each one is a little bit of tshuva, but there's much more tshuva where that came from. It's much bigger energy at this, so we've just really haven't even scratched the surface of the full power of tshuva. Haneshama yechidit v'tziborit, every person's soul and the soul of the community. Olamim v'omel amim, of our world of Asiya, and all of the other worlds. Ria yetzira tzilas ak, everything, all of the worlds, all of the dimensions, every single thing. Kilavia norat soeket bechevleh letikun gamur, is calling out for this repair. The world is calling out for repair, for tikun. The world is calling out to be brought home. And these flashes of sana are like calling us, or enveloping us, and are trying to bring us back. That we have these two sides, both yearning for this tikun, for this repair. These two sides, like Rabbi Nachman's story about the country where there are two birds lost from each other, each one calling for each other. The creation is calling for repair, and the source of tshuva, Hashem, broadcasting that signal, trying to bring us all back. The metziut ha'idealit, anu kashim et ha'machlovim behem amrikim motano. So that they want, we... All of creation is calling for this, the way that how life could be perfect, how life could be ideal. And we feel, each one of us feels to a certain extent that pain of the world not being the way they need to be. The pain that's present within all of creation of things that are not, that are not kitikunam. They're not the way that we want them to be. It's an imperfect world, it's an imperfect society. And our drive and desire is to somehow reconnect everything with its source to bring it to the way it should be. And this pain, hem mamrakim otanu kemelech shemamtich et abasar, hem maptikim ekol merorotenu. In that same way that salt softens meat, right? That same way that salt softens the meat, that this pain, this desire for tshuva, it also sweetens all of our afflictions. The fact that we're yearning it and desiring something more and something bigger, and having this drive and desire, for this tremendous tikkun. On one hand, we feel the pain, and at the same time, that we know that this pain is also a desire for the world to reach its repair, for the world to reach its tikkun. So what happens over here? Then he says, "Behagut milim iafshar lanu levateh the machshava rachaka ashrakim hazot." Hold on for a second. Okay. So.
There we go.
Can't in any words express the breadth of these heavens. However, yichudim anu miyachdim b'shamot anu mechabnim. Right. So we don't have words really to try to, if we're talking about the sun of tshuva and the sky that it's against, the sky that it shines within. So then, and the pain that we feel and the sweetness that we feel. You see, there's multiple layers of metaphor going on over here. And then he says that we can't express all of this. We can't express the pain and the sweetness and the desire for a pair. But then we are bringing Yichudim together. We're taking a world which is fractured and trying to put it back together. I'll remind you the story that I told you 2 weeks ago, that Brenner, after reading one of Rav Kook's essays, he says that in the same pain that Brenner was in, Rav Kook, in one of his essays, felt that pain. And Brenner said, this man is Ish Karu on the Ode. He's a very, very torn man. He's a broken man. Rav Kook responded then to Azar, one of the other members of the literary circle, that person said that I'm torn. He's correct. But aren't we all torn? Aren't we all torn and broken? Aren't we all pulled apart? However, when we feel the brokenness, when we feel trying to pull these different pieces together and try to unite the Kabbalists refer to as these whole unifications, the same way, we see upper worlds and lower worlds groaning, desiring repair, trying to bring into some type of symmetry, some type of synergy, some type of concert, all of the pain of the worlds and the pleasure that we know that the everything crying for a tikkun, crying for repair is also, it all wants to be fixed. All the pain in the world comes as a result of an imperfect world desiring perfection, Rav Kook says. So the Yichudim, we are putting them together. But not only that, he takes the concept of Yichudim and learns it in a different way as well. That to meditate on the letters of creation, like Rosh Milin, the letters of the Shemos HaKadoshim, of the different combinations of words, the name of Hashem. So B'Shemot Anu Mechavnim, with the holy names, we're having these Kavanos. And by the way, he's also letting us in a little bit into his world of how he would use the kavas. There's another place, the famous Aleh L'mala Aleh Torah, where he speaks about that the Yichudim are placed into your hands and you're not in their hands. But there are meditations that when we think and consider Hashem's name, when thinking about what it means, each concept is something that we live in. There's the Maisa, there's a story by one of the Talmidei HaMagid of Mezrich that became a businessman, and he went to go to visit another one of Talmidim. Maybe it was a Talmid of the Baal Shem, and he went to go spend time with the Maggid. And what happened is that they went to Shul to Daven, and this Balabas he took a while to daven. He was davening with the kavanas of the Arizal. But then the Magid took even longer. And as they left Shul, his friend turned to the Magid and said, "You know, Dovber, I noticed you daven for quite a while. Now, I, Baruch Hashem, I'm also davening with the kavanas of the Arizal. But at the same time, you know, I don't go as long as you." And the Magid said to him, "When you go to the Yerid, when you go to the fair in Leipzig, do you think about Leipzig or do you actually go to Leipzig?" And he said, "I don't know what you mean." He said, "When you go shopping, you need to go get your schayra. You need to go get your, all the materials for the sales you're going to make for the rest of the year. You have to go to the big fair to buy them. Or can you just sit at home thinking about it?" He said, "Why, I go to the fair, of course." And Dovber said, "Well, that's the difference between you and me. When you're learning the kavanas of the Ari, you're only thinking about them. I'm going there. Every one of the kavanas, every one of the words, these words, all these kavanas, is not just, you know, we just look at the letters and say, oh, that's nice. And, oh, that's a nice vart. And the different signs, ideas in the that are written in the Sephardic Siddur, or that are written in one of the Arizal Sidurim. It's not so, oh, yeah, that's a nice part. But each kavan is also an experience. So then he says, Nikuda shamayim va'art chadashim umeleyam atzurim sham. Even with a dot, whether it's a nikuda of a vowel, because we know the vowels have significance both in the writings of the Arizal, is one dimension of reality, but also a vowel changes meaning. We talk about people nowadays creating narratives and speaking of different things, right? And the narrative creates a certain reality. So we're the ones who invented that. Baruch Sha'amar Vayolam, that with speech the world is created. Well, without the kudos, words don't mean anything. They can't. Without the vowels, the implied vowels, we don't have a sense of what the words mean. So then we have the kudos. And the kuda, it's the entire world. Worlds are created. Os, a letter. The olam mitgalim. Olamim mitgalim. Worlds are revealed. Tevot, and words. Revavot ol me'ad hamon yitzurim shalala balez. Myriads, tens of thousands, and so many creations that are there. Malei chedva, rejoicing. Rejoicing the joy of Kel Elim, the greatest, the mighty, Malei Shalom, filled with love, with peace and truth, and the neshama holechet mitakenet. And at the end of all this, so he says that what happens, we look at our worlds that are fractured, our worlds yearning for tikkun, and then all of a sudden, the person in the chaven, the person with the kavanas, the person who seeks to bring together, to cure the pain that exists in all the world, comes and tries to return these fractured worlds together. He stitches up the pieces of the torn soul, the nesha, this connection with tshuva, and all of the rays of tshuva of the sun that go out through all of the worlds, through all of the worlds that are filled with brokenness, the hope to repair all of them. And as we're going to proceed through the chapter, you're going to see lots of different worlds and lots of different pieces of these scattered worlds, how throughout everything, he's going to mention economics and history, he's going to mention the different minhagim, he's going to mention ben adam l'chaver, ben adam l'machav, he's going to mention all these different pieces and how this sun of tshuva lights up these worlds and is trying to bring peace and bring wholeness to an entirely broken world. This is part of his all-embracing world of tshuva. It's not just me. It's not just me and my missing modi manachtavach by not saying it, but skipping words because I'm not looking at a sitter or forgetting to say asher yatzar. It's not just a person being mean-spirited and not taking care of their neighbor. It's that and so much more and so much bigger. It's so much greater. And that sun that light goes throughout the galaxy and is giving light to all those worlds. That same way, that son of Tshuva is broadcasting that light to everything. In everything, we see that sunlight of Tshuva. Every movement for a better world. It sends out its kavim, its lights, right? Kav meaning a beam of light, but kav also meaning hope. The kav of tikva. A good friend of Joey Rosenfeld spoke of that. This also in one of his shirim. But the kav of tikva, the idea of that ray coming down means a hope for repair for all the worlds. The idea of hope, of a branch just sticking out. This, this parak is so poetic. Sorry, this paragraph is so poetic in this extended metaphor of a sun reaching out its rays and shining its light on everything. Everything. It's really, really fantastic. God. Okay, so. Beautiful. Okay, so. Idea Tshuva. Otbez. Or Otbet. Idea Tshuva HaKol Shav LeElokus. Through Tshuva, everything returns to God. Idea Metziyut Koach HaTshuva HaSharer BaOlam BaOlamim Kulam Shav HaKol Mitkashir BeMetziyut HaShlemut HaElokit. Through Tshuva, everything returns to godliness. Through its existence, that idea that Tshuva exists as a hope for all of creation, that idea that there's a hope for all of us, the hope for a better world, a bigger world. The idea that any time that a person feels that there's hope, that things can get better, even nothing's happened yet, but the idea that things can get better, that's tshuva also. That's part of the power of tshuva, is the part of the power of hope. I borrowed from the former president, the audacity of hope. It's the same hope that we talk about in the Shemona Esrei of the Yom HaNaraim, Tikva Tova L'Darshecha, right? That there should be a Tikva Tova, that there should be a good hope for all of those who are seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This audacity of hope. You know, rebellions are built on hope. The idea that things can be better, things can get better, that's the whole of what the Shemona Esrei, or the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is predicated on. Tikva Tova, even though it looks like Alles ist verfallen, that everything is lost, even though that everything is a mess, the belief that things can be better, that's the power of Tshuva. And through Tshuva, everything can return to godliness. Aidei Rayanota Shel Tshuva, Deotesha Vehagashoteh, through thoughts of Tshuva, feelings of Tshuva, laws of Tshuva, Machshavot Rayanot Vehadeot, Ratzon Vehagashot, through this everything, opinions, thoughts, systems, everything, all roads can lead back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Kook says that really, that all feelings, all thoughts can be brought home because Tshuva exists. And Tshuva can bring them all back. Try one last oat. Hatshuva klalit she iloy olam b'tikuno. The tshuva, the general tshuva, the all-encompassing tshuva, which is the elevation of the world and its repair. The tshuva pratit hanogad liishiyut pratit shel kol echad veechad akidei deot. Sorry, dakot ha-pratim shel tikunei tshuva hamiyuchadim shiruach hakodesh yodeh lepartam lepratim ayoter bodedim hen biyached tochen echad. That this repair for the long game, the whole game, the whole that incorporates all many, many, many details and every single detail, both the klal and the prat, both the general principle, general ideal, and the particular. Each one of them, tshuva klalit, whole movements, whole isms, the pratit, me and my negel vaser, me and my brachos. My ribs. And the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit, knows how to specify them. So, on one hand, I've heard it explained that it means just the Sfarim. On the other hand, it means that it refers to what the Gro was talking about in Mishlei, the Pizetzna speaks about as well, that the function of the Navi was to attach you with your soul again. A function of the Navi, when he wasn't making grand proclamations and future Haftarahs, the Navi was also looking at each person and telling them what they need to do, how they need to, each person needs to attach their life back to godliness. How do I hook everything back together? Even every societal change, every little bit of societal change, that the world can get better, life can get better. Where we settle problems of famine, we settle problems of injustice, where we settle any repair of society as well, this is also, tshuva. Time chevatim v'kalkalim, whether it's societal life or even economic life. Holchem u'mishtachlelim im tikunei achet v'avon michamurim shebuchamurim adikdukei sofrim v'midot chasidut hayotem muflagot kulam v'chativa achad. Whether we're talking societal change, whether we're talking about people stopping to do isarkaris, or stopping to do things that are very, very, very serious, even to, you know, to the different ways that a person, you know, a person has different dikduke minhagim. All of these different pieces, they say, well, oh, you know, what does it make a difference? You know, how one group specifically, you know, is going to blow the shofar versus the other one. But yeah, we have to talk about the economy. Rav Kook says, kulam hem chativa echad. They're all one, they're all one juncture. They're all one nexus. Enam nuktakim, they are all, each one of them are not separate from their zemizeh. Ve'chul hon lechad atas likin. And they all move out together. They all go out together. All encompassed, everything. Every single thing returns to the power of tshuva. Tshuva is not the big, not just the little strokes. Tshuva is a world force from the beginning to the end. This tremendous sun that shines its light out from the most distant galaxies to you in your little life, in your little, in all of your little different things that you're involved in. Tshuva is that sun whose rays warm up your life and state the pair, the pain of these great lions calling for a pair. So yes, Robert, that was in fact a Star Wars reference, from Rogue One. I've taken a great liking to that phrase, especially when you put it up against the Shmoneh Esrei of the Amida of the Yomim Noraim Tikva Tova L'Doshecha, because it's all about the audacity to believe that the world can be better, and our rebellion is a rebellion against the world of Shanati, of a world that just repeats itself over and over again. Our rebellion is to hope for something more. Normally our thought is that the Shana is something which it repeats itself and it puts you to sleep. I heard once from Moshe Sapir Zatzal, it repeats itself and puts you to sleep. And our audacity is to believe that this time it comes around, it can be something more. And even though we've lived through many Rosh Hashanahs, I can believe in something more. That's a rebellion of audacity right there.
Okay, so if anyone came a little bit late, I just want to explain, Rav Reuven is actually at a wedding tonight. He was kind enough to do the Chabura tonight for a half hour, take a break out from being at the wedding, but we're going to have a little bit of a shorter session tonight. Mirza Hashem, I'm assuming we're going to do two more weeks. I mean, unless someone has other thoughts, I assume next week will be Erev Rosh Hashanah, last day of the year, next Thursday night, and then we will do Sarah Simei Tshuva. We'll do that Thursday before Yom Kippur. I'm assuming at this point that's going to be it, but you know, I'm open to all ideas, but that's the plan for now. So as always, thank you for being part of it, and thank you, Rav Reuven, and enjoy the rest of the wedding. Have a good night, everyone.
Simchas for Jews.
Thank you, Pesach.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care.